Reformed Church.
And I had mentioned to you last service and probably the service before that about, you know, how the Lord doesn't judge by the sight of his eyes or by the hearing of his ears, even as he was growing in wisdom, right? That's how he judged by the Spirit of God. And obviously that makes sense because we are, he's a spiritual being, right? Not, even though he came in the flesh, but he had the Spirit of God. Now we obviously we've been made new creations. We've been made as he is now. So we are, you know, spirit beings that live in a body, right? In a house, in a tent. But basically what makes us who we are is all as he is, right? Everything that we are that is really meaningful to eternity, right, is spiritual and not carnal, right? So this earthly suit doesn't dictate basically anything as far as we're concerned. But you know, it has needs, and the Lord wants to meet the needs of this body, and we do too, because we agree with him. But one of the things with being spiritual and not carnal is that we don't also have to live by the senses that this body has, right? I mean, it's great that you have senses, you know, if you touch something, oh, that's hot, that's cold, right? But the point is we don't have to, though, be led by them. We that are spiritual, right, are those that are led by the Spirit of God. We are not led by our senses, right? It's great to have senses, but that's not what leads our life. That's not where our judgment and our decisions come from. So when I started thinking about that, you know, I just wrote this phrase down, we are not rule followers. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that we do is to break the rules, but there is a difference between being like, when you're like, if we're living like to be rule sticklers, like you just want to, everything's about the rules and you're just gonna obey the rules and do that. I mean, there are rules basically for everything. I mean, most things in this world have rules, right? I mean, gravity has rules, death has rules, right? There's a lot of rules that things have. And, you know, and we read all the time about, you know, how Pharisees and Sadducees were expert rule followers, right? Very, very good rule followers. I mean, at least they thought that they were. I mean, we don't think that they were experts, but, you know, they thought that they were experts at the time. You know, they would teach about the rules that they have to be followed, but they would break them themselves. But they thought themselves to be good rule followers, or at least at the very minimum, you know, the Pharisees of that time lived by following rules, right? But what you see really is that you don't make a decision for your life because the rule says so. You make a decision for your life because the Spirit of God agrees with that rule, right? That's not the same thing, right? It's not the same thing as there is a rule and you agree the rule is good. Therefore, you're going to follow the rule. The rule is meant to protect people. The rule is meant to keep people safe, avoid injury, whatever, right? So, great. But you agree with that, but you're still not making a decision based on a rule. You're making a decision because you happen to agree with the rule, so that when the time comes where there is a rule that God disagrees with, you know the decision to make, right? Because you don't obey rules, you obey God, right? So when if somebody tells you the new rule is that you cannot preach the gospel, well, that's not a rule I'm going to follow, right? Because I will preach the gospel. Right, so there's a difference in being a stickler for rules than and there's tons of examples. I just want to give you a couple here. If we can go, obviously, you know, I have said this several times. It's come up in the last several services about how we have the mind of Christ. Right, the Lord says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's just read it real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 15. It says, but he who is spiritual, like we are, we judge all things. That means that we have in us the right judgment. Like when you hear righteous judgment, we have in us the right judgment for every situation that you would have to make any decision, no matter how small or how big. You have the right judgment for that, right? And then it says right on the heels of saying that we can judge all things, and we ourselves are rightly judged by no one, right? No man, no person without the Spirit of God can judge you because they don't know your Father. Verse 16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So what he's saying is, who can judge you? Because to judge you, they would have to judge the mind of Christ, which you have, right? So So that's obviously the start of this whole thinking, is the fact that we have the mind of Christ, which is where our judgment should always come from, right? You want your judgment to come from the mind of Christ. John 7:21 says, Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it was from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses should not be broken, and you're angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath, do not judge, he said to them, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So in other words, to them, you know, when they hear, you know, you keep the Sabbath and you don't work, right? The theme that you'll hear throughout all of the things that the Lord teaches is that, you know, the Lord doesn't teach against breaking the commandments of Moses, right? He lived in that time. But the thing is that there are weightier things than the law. As far as God is concerned, right? There are weightier things than the law. And he'll go into that. Matthew 23:23 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. What things are weightier than tithing, than the law of tithing, right? Justice, mercy, faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone, right? There are weightier things than being rule followers, right? If you have a rule, it's not that, you know, I don't look at rules, or we shouldn't look at rules and say, I don't care about rules, right? Rules are there, many of them, like I said, to help and protect people, right? But the thing is, but that's not what you lean on for decisions, right? You don't lean on rules to make your decision for you, right? Because ultimately, that's just being a rule follower. You're not, basically, you can turn off your brain, you can turn off listening to Jesus, and you can just say, I'm just going to be a rule follower and do what it says, right? But we are not keepers of the commandments of the rules of men, right? We are keepers, right, of what the Lord says, right? In other words, you have desires that are going to line up with what the Lord is saying, and the power with which then to do it. But that's what you want to do. You want to see that there's agreement in your heart with the rule. And then you'll do it, and the Lord, and we're empowered to do that, right? We have the power of God to live, but we're not keeping a rule. It's just that our judgment, our righteous judgment, happens to agree with that rule, right? Those are not the same thing. Matthew 12:1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain to eat, and the Pharisees saw it. And they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And he said to them, have you not read when David, when he was hungry, that he and those that were with him, how he entered the house of God and he ate the showbread that was not lawful, right? It wasn't according to the rules for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. He says, or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple, but you have not known, but you had not known what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the guiltless. Sorry, if you would have known what this means, you would have not condemned the guiltless. So it's just good to see, like, you know, you're looking at the Savior. You're looking at one, at the Son of God, and yet you're going to talk to the Son of God about how he's breaking a rule. Like you obviously they don't know him, and they don't understand the heart of God. They don't understand justice, right? Justice is not about rules. Justice and righteousness is about what's right, right? So you don't follow a rule at the detriment of your family, right? You don't follow a rule at you know, and put your family in a difficult position just because you needed to follow a rule, right? We don't follow rules. We have our judgment agree or disagree with a rule, right? Luke 14:1. One more minute with this. Luke 14:1 says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. So what you see there is just that, you know, from an observation perspective, you know, like, why am I, it seems so wrong. Why would I baptize you, Jesus? You came, I mean, John knew, right? I baptize with water, but there's one coming that's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Why would I be baptizing you? That doesn't seem right. But it's awesome to always be open to do, you know, to judge righteously in a situation. And obviously, when the Lord tells you, do this to be able to fulfill all that is right to be done, right? Then obviously your mind is changed and you go ahead and you do it, right? But it's just so many examples, and there's more. We don't have time to go through it, but it's just a cool thing to be able to, you know, look at rules and things appropriately, because the time is going to come, right? The time is going to come where rules are going to more and more and more press in and move against, right, against the Lord, against the church, right? And we just have to know where you stand as far as following rules. And the place to start is start with little rules, right? Start with things that don't pose you any immediate issue in any way, and just say, Lord, what do you think about this? Acknowledging the Lord before you follow a rule that's written, acknowledge the Lord and say, Lord, but what do you think about this? But what do you think about this? But what do you think about this? And you start growing, you start seeing, you know what? Maybe the Lord agrees with most of the rules that you're dealing with, but maybe you come to one and you're like, you know what, Lord? I don't think you agree with this rule, right? Should I follow this rule, right? Should I allow my kids to sit through an evolution class just because the rule is that they go to school so that they listen? No, the rule is I'm going to go and I'm going to take my kid out of school, and if I have to call in sick with my kid, I'm going to call in sick with them, right? It's just, you know, there are rules that you follow, and then there's things, right, that agree or disagree with the Lord. So just good stuff to have in mind.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.